Now we're in week three of our July series, which we've called God's Generous Grace. And if you have been here or haven't been here in week one, you may remember we explored a story that Jesus told, recorded for us in Luke chapter 14, the story about the great banquet. And in that story, we discover that grace invites us. Before we get cleaned up, before we proved ourselves worthy, God has prepared a feast and invited us to go around the table. Last week, we looked in Luke chapter 15 of the story Jesus told about the lost sheep. And we saw then that grace searches for us. When we wander away from God, when we become distracted, lost, confused, or broken, God does not stand at a distance shouting at us and waiting for us to find our own way home. The shepherd comes looking for us. And so if you haven't heard those, then please do catch up with those as part of the series. Now, when I got home yesterday afternoon, after doing the story of the lost sheep, one of the people who were in the congregation that day sent me this rather lovely video that I thought I should share with you today. Could we just dim the lights as well? Is that, or turn the light?
These, I don't know if you can see this, Tim, but I thought I'd take you a little picture. Far in the distance, as a farmer there, all the sheep are in this field, and he's going after the one missing one. This is us on Sunday afternoon, after your service. You see him just going up the hill there, trying to get him round and in through the gate, which is over here. Let's see if he manages it. Well, he's running a risk that the other, but he loses the bounty eye in favour of the one. He's encouraging him along, see him rallying in the distance. Okay, go. Going to get caught behind the fence now. Oh yeah, there he goes. Come around the fence, and he's in, and you can shut the gate.
Yay!
And he's gone after the one. And the 99.
You made it home. Isn't that great? Thanks to Ken and Sue for spotting that on your walk. And isn't that good news? The lost sheep found its way home. The only thing that disappointed me was that he didn't pick the sheep up and put it on its shoulders. But this is an English shepherd as opposed to a Far Eastern shepherd. An English shepherd cajoles the sheep. A Middle Eastern shepherd would lead the sheep home. In fact, carry it home. But what better example could we have that grace searches for us, and grace searches until he brings us home. So today, we're going to look at a third aspect of God's generous grace, something I think Jesus talked about that was just as important to us, and that is the truth that grace sustains us. It provides, it keeps us on the journey that we're making. Because following Jesus is not just about accepting an invitation and feasting at the table. It's not just about having a party when we get carried home by the shepherd and welcomed back into the family because we've been found. It's about learning how to live as a follower of Jesus every single day, moment by moment. And God's grace sustains us through those day-to-day moments. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus told the story of the banquet as a response to the overconfident declaration by a dinner guest. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God, the dinner guest said. Have I got a slide on that? Sorry, I should have done. My apologies. In Luke chapter 14, the statement was, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus tells the story of the great feast and the invitation. In Luke chapter 15, when he tells the story of the lost sheep, he tells it as a response to a criticism. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, when we get to Luke 11, the passage for today, in verse 1 of Luke 11, Jesus tells us this story for today as a response to a request from the disciples who say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so these three stories are told to make us think. Whatever the question or the statement was before them, Jesus wants the person asking the question or making the statement to think about. Oh, it's there. Thank you. Thank you very much. I must have put it in the wrong order. My apologies. Thanks, Frank. You're a star. Jesus wants us to think, To think about who God is, to think about who we are, and to think about why it matters. To challenge our certainty, to enlarge our imagination, and to grow our faith. God's generous grace invites, God's generous grace searches, but God's generous grace also sustains. Now, some of us know that. Some of us know how to depend on God when there is a crisis going on. God's generous grace is there when the diagnosis comes, and you've experienced that. You know God's grace when a relationship breaks down. You know God's grace when a job disappears or when anxiety overwhelms you. You know how to depend on God's grace. But what about on an ordinary Tuesday morning? What about when you're doing the school run? What about when you're just about to go into an office meeting, or the bills have come through the door eventually, or the washing up still to be done and somebody else should have done it, or the endless notifications that keep popping up on your phone, the difficult conversations that you've been avoiding? What difference does God's generous grace make in those moments? Does God's grace sustain us in those moments in our life as we continue to navigate whatever it throws at us? Because if grace only matters when we first become followers of Jesus, grace that forgives us, then I think we've missed something vital in the journey. That grace isn't just a doorway into God's kingdom. Grace is the atmosphere of God's kingdom every day, here and now. One of the lines in the song we sang was, God, change the atmosphere. And I think the atmosphere of how we live can be changed as we encounter God's generous grace that sustains us, and we trust it every single day. So as Jesus tells this story after the disciples' request to teach them to pray, how does Jesus start in his answer? He starts, "Our Father," doesn't he? And these words are so easy to miss because we're so familiar with them. But actually, it changed everything in what was to come next as he told his story that we're going to look at today. Prayer is not approaching a distant ruler. Prayer is not about submitting a request to an indifferent administrator. Prayer begins with relationship, our Father. And so on the back of giving them the model for prayer, Jesus tells the story that we will read together today. If you'd like to read it with me, that would be great. And we've got three slides of this passage. Let's say. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. Can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Those are my favorite couplet in the whole of the Bible. Shameless audacity. Do you like that phrase? I mean, what an amazing phrase. Shameless audacity. Hang that in your head for a moment. Now, remember the setting of this story. Imagine a first century village. A guest arrives unexpectedly. Hospitality was sacred, but the host has no bread, and it is midnight. Now, believe it or not, back in the first century, there were no supermarkets, no 24-hour convenience stores, and no Deliveroo either. So, he wakes up his neighbor. Now, everyone hearing Jesus tell this story would recognize both the embarrassment of this moment and the inconvenience of this moment. Now, the neighbor responds badly, understandably. The audience would have laughed about that because they know what it was like. They knew exactly what the situation felt like. One-room houses, children asleep, everyone crowded together. Getting up would be so inconvenient to the whole household. Yet eventually, the neighbor does get up and gives his neighbor what is needed. 3 loaves. Why? Well, because the man kept on knocking. And then Jesus says, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, of course, we could hear this passage and think that the lesson is, if we annoy God long enough, eventually he'll give us what we want. But that can't be right, can it? That's not the Father that Jesus has shown us and taught to us. It can't be about that. Jesus isn't comparing God to a reluctant neighbor. He's contrasting them. The point is, if even a sleepy, irritated neighbor eventually responds, how much more will your heavenly Father respond to you? The focus is God's generous grace. A little bit further on, in Luke 11, 11 to 13. Would you like to read this with me? We've got a couple of slides on these passage. Let's read. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, Jesus is teaching us what God is like. If neighbors and fathers can be generous, how much more generous is God? And his generosity, of course, runs all the way through the pages of the Bible. In Genesis, God creates abundance before humanity has done anything to deserve it. In Exodus, God provides manna in the wilderness, enough for each day. Jesus feeds the hungry. He turns water into wine. The same story again and again. God is generous, God provides, and God sustains. See, the man isn't asking for bread because he's greedy. He's asking because someone has arrived and needs hospitality and care and welcome. And he doesn't have enough. Does that feel familiar to you? That you don't have enough some days? Because most of us regularly discover in our walk with Jesus that we don't have enough. We don't have enough patience. We don't have enough wisdom. We don't have enough courage. We don't have enough energy. We don't have enough forgiveness. We don't have enough love. A parent reaches the end of a very long day and thinks, I don't have enough left. A manager faces another difficult conversation. A teacher faces another challenging week. A student faces another exam. A caregiver faces another exhausting day. We keep discovering our limits. And perhaps that's exactly where grace begins in our lives. Because I think grace begins when self-sufficiency ends. When we realize that we don't have enough, God's grace is just beginning. Now, many of us in this room, I know, find it difficult to ask, don't we? Not because we don't have needs, but because we don't like admitting them. We prefer competence or control or independence to do it ourselves. But the kingdom of God is built on dependence. Too often, asking is a last resort, whether asking someone we know for help or even asking God. We've tried everything, people say to me, but now I'm going to pray. But it's healthy to ask for help. Shameless audacity isn't a last resort. It's a recognition of where our help comes from. Dependency is not shameful, it's shameless. Even at midnight, God's generous grace is available. And we don't wear God down by endless asking. The Father, our Father, responds to our shamelessness. Verse 8 says, he will surely get up and get you as much as you need. Shame is what religion is all about. Relationship with God takes us further and deeper. And we just look in this passage. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Ask, seek, knock. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask, ask him. That is not shameful. We approach God shamelessly. Paul learned this the Apostle Paul. Three times he asked God to remove his thorn of flesh. God's answer surprised him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Not strength, weakness. Not self-reliance, dependence. God's grace sustains us precisely because we cannot sustain ourselves. We haven't earned it, we don't deserve it, but God will provide it if we just ask. How much more? These three words are at the heart of this passage, because many of us secretly imagine that God is less generous than he really is. We fear he is reluctant, distant, disappointed with us somehow, annoyed with us because we've done something wrong. But Jesus says, no, God is not less generous than the best parent you know. He is infinitely more generous than that. And notice how Jesus ends this story. He doesn't say God will give us everything we ask for, by the way. He says the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the greatest gift God gives us is not a thing. It's a person. It's himself. That's his greatest gift to those who will ask. God's presence, God's power, God's comfort, God's wisdom, God's life within us when we reach the end of not having enough. The Father doesn't merely send help, he is the help who comes near. And this is where God's generous grace becomes astonishing. How his grace sustains us every single day in every circumstance we may find ourselves in. See, the goal of grace is not merely just to receive blessings. The goal is relationship. The God who invites us to his banquet table, the God who searches for us when we are lost, he now comes to live within us. We mustn't be disconnected from the source itself. We were created to live connected to God. And I pray that you will be connected to him in this week to come. Here's three things I'll offer to you that may help you to stay connected and to experience God's generous grace that sustains you every moment of every day. Begin each day open-handed. Before anything, plug in and pray. Father, give me today's bread. That's enough. Start with dependence. As much as you need. Take a moment before you go to sleep to notice where God has already provided for you. Ask yourself, where did I see God's grace today? Where did I see his sustaining grace, his provision for me? How much more is he willing to give? And then maybe take a moment to offer bread to someone else. Who has God placed in your life this week? Who needs encouragement? Who needs kindness? Who needs forgiveness? Who needs a listening ear? The neighbor got up and gave as much as he needed. And I think God's call to us is to do the same to those who come to us. Grace searches when we wonder, when we wander. The shepherd comes looking. Grace invites. There's always a place at the table. But grace sustains as well. The Father's cupboards are never empty. His generosity never runs dry. His Spirit is always available. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up and face whatever awaits you, and it is the start of the school holiday, so for some of you, whew, well done. But when you wake up, don't begin by asking, do I have enough? Instead, say, Father, will you give me grace for today? That's all I ask. And he will give you what it is that you ask for. We're going to share communion together. And as we come to this table this morning, it's worth noticing where Jesus' story began. A man stood at a neighbor's door because he had no bread. He didn't have enough. And perhaps that's the truest thing any of us can say as we come to communion today. We don't have enough. We don't have enough goodness to earn a place here. We don't have enough strength to carry ourselves through another week. We don't have enough wisdom to navigate every challenge that lies ahead. But the amazing, great news of the good news of Jesus is that this table has always been for people who don't have enough. For people who know they need Jesus. And this morning, I'm urging you to come with shameless audacity. I've no idea what that's going to look like, but come with shameless audacity because he has enough for you today. On the night before he gave his life for us, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. This is my body, he said, given for you. It's enough for you. After supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks for it. He said, this cup is the new covenant, the new promise in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. This is enough. And so the one who taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread, became the bread of life. The one who invites us to the banquet now welcomes us to his table. So today, we don't come because we've had a good week, a 1 or a 10 or whatever it's been. We don't come because we've prayed enough or read enough or served enough or given enough or believed enough. We come because grace invites us. We come because grace searched for us. And we come because grace sustains us. And here at this table, grace feeds us once again. So please, as you receive the bread today, receive it as a reminder that Christ is enough for you. And as you receive the cup, remember that his grace has not run out, his mercy has not been exhausted, and his love has not grown weary. You're welcome at this table by the generous, sustaining grace of God. So come with empty hands and grateful hearts. Come and receive again from the one who alone can sustain you today and every day until the day when we gather at the great banquet in God's kingdom, where grace will no longer be received by faith, but enjoyed face to face. So may you come knowing that this is true today and tomorrow, and his grace will sustain you through it all.